déteste. Et qu'ils n'ont pas aidé mes plans, mais je t'en prie, reste. Laisse-moi t'ouvrir la porte et prends ta veste. Assis-toi, rien ne presse. Quand je te vois, je le déduis de ton style, le flash laisse ton cœur froid. Et puis de toute façon, tu sais du cash, moi j'en ai pas. Mon angle est bien beaucoup plus subtil que ça. Prends ton temps, écoute-moi. Quand je t'assure que c'est avec classe que j'admire si tu le permets. Crois-moi, car c'est ta classe qui m'attire et tu le sais. Ça se voit, c'est avec classe que je te désire, mais dans respect. En tout cas, c'est avec classe et ça marche à chaque fois. C'est pas vrai, je le confesse. Mais je ne suis qu'un homme, c'est normal, faut pas tu stresses. Mais le plus important, c'est que j'ai su reconnaître les mille et une choses qui te rendent complète. Ton charme commence où ton sexe appuie l'arrête. Tu souris, tu me parles, c'est assez pour perdre ma tête. C'est très sincèrement que je te chante. C'est avec laisse que j'admire si tu le permets. Crois-moi, car c'est ta classe qui m'attire et tu le sais. Ça se voit, c'est avec laisse que je te désire, mais dans respect. En tout cas, c'est avec laisse et ça marche à chaque fois.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing.
On.
There is this thing going on.
What
do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Hi, welcome back to Unfit to Print. This is CKUT on 90.3 FM, broadcasting live from Montreal. My name is Amy Lloyd.
And I'm Maya Ibbotson.
Today we broadcast in the Kyodiage, the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and the Anishinaabe Nations. The time now is 5:04.
So today we will be playing an audio essay which is written and produced by us. The crisis of affordable housing in Montreal is an issue that has been intensifying since the summer of 2019. Unfit has yet to thoroughly cover this topic. Considering Mayor Plant is devising new programs to confront and hopefully solve this housing issue, we thought it would not only be useful, but very important to walk you folks through the numerous factors contributing to the ever-decreasing vacancy rates. In this essay, we will cover the housing statistics of the city and across Canada, as well as social factors and societal consequences of these low vacancy rates. Stay tuned for a weekly headline roundup after a few songs.
Whatever I've done.
That was Dove by Munya, followed by One More Hour off of Tame Impala's newly released album, and the time now is 5:15, so it's time for our weekly headline roundup.
First, we want to give a shout out to Kate. Thank you for always listening. For our first headline today, I'm going to be reading the media advisory, which was emailed to us by Deves McGill. Quote, McGill students have shut down the university's administration building to call on McGill University's Board of Governors to take a stance against fossil fuel corporation in Canada that are causing policy raids and land grabs of the Wet'suwet'en and Athabasca territories. TC Energy Coastal GasLink is the corporation which filed for the injunctions to violently remove Wet'suwet'en people from their land in order to build the Trans Mountain Pipeline. Deves McGill is responding to Wet'suwet'en Hereditary Chiefs call for solidarity actions by demanding that McGill divest its $6 million in investments in TC Energy. Additionally, Divest McGill is voicing their solidarity with Indigenous climate change action against the Tech Mine Frontier projects that the Canadian government is scheduled to vote on February 28th, 2020. The oil produced from the tar sands expansion project would affect the Athabasca Chippewyan communities, among many others. Divest McGill believes that our university should not be funding extra activist projects which bring violence against Indigenous people. Since 2012, McGill students, faculty, and staff have demanded that the university divest its endowment from the fossil fuel industry. This past December, the McGill Board of Governors passed a report advising against divestment from fossil fuels. Today, Divest McGill is blockading the McGill administration building to increase their demands to include immediate divestment from Coastal GasLink and Tech Resources Limited. Divestment is a matter of climate justice. It is necessary to address the past, present, and anticipated social, ecological, and democratic damages from the fossil fuel industry. By publicly divesting, students aim to revoke the social license of fossil fuel extraction in Canada. Students are demanding that, one, immediate divestment from TC Energy in response to the ongoing violent raids on the sovereign Wet'suwet'en territory to force construction of the Coastal GasLink pipeline, immediate divestment from Tech Resources Limited, three, divestment from the top 200 largest fossil fuel companies by reserves from the university's segregated holdings, and four, a public statement by the university which recognizes the grave social injury caused by fossil fuel and fossil fuel companies, unquote. The blockade took place outside of the McGill administration building beginning at 8:30 this morning and ending around 4.
So continuing on the topic of Wet'suwet'en, this morning Perry Belgrade, the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, is speaking in Ottawa regarding the largely contested Coastal GasLink pipeline project. As we touched on last week and above, nationwide protests have ensued in support of the Wet'suwet'en peoples who have been protesting the pipeline due to the fact that it crosses over their traditional territory in northern British Columbia. Though the pipeline has received approval from elected band councils, many hereditary Wet'suwet'en chiefs oppose it. Controversy across Canada has increased since the RCMP moved into Wet'suwet'en territory to break up protests in the name of a court injunction. Many of the nationwide protests have been occurring on train tracks, such as the one that caused cancellations on the Via Rail Montreal-Toronto line last week. Canadian manufacturers have reportedly said rail disruptions from protests caused $850 million of goods to sit idle every day instead of being exported. Manufacturers report the protests are hurting their economy even more during its current slump as the industry sales continue to slip. It is thought that this discussion with Belgrade this morning is sought by Indigenous ministers in the federal parliament in order to quickly and peacefully wrap up the protests.
Speaking of protests, yesterday Indigenous youth for Wet'suwet'en and allies organized a blockade on Sherbrooke to protest the ongoing situation regarding Wet'suwet'en. I'm going to read some of the quotes from the speakers at the event featured in the media advisory. Quote, the decision from the BC Supreme Court to extend CGL's injunction order is a criminalization of Wet'suwet'en and directly violates their constitutionally protected rights to occupy their own unceded lands, as articulated in the United Nations Declarations on the Rights of Indigenous People, otherwise known as UNDRIP. In the meantime, the process of constructing CGL has been marred by abuse, such as the destruction of sacred archaeological sites, generational food systems, trap lines, and brutalization of land defenders at the hands of the RCMP, unquote, as stated by Carly Loft, a Ganaganage Mohawk woman dedicated to empowering Indigenous youth locally and nationally. Loft continues saying, quote, we understand that Indigenous peoples cannot exist without their land. Their languages, cultures, and future generations cannot survive without it. Indigenous youth are not only inheriting a climate crisis driven by fossil fuel projects like CGL, but Canada's legacy of colonization, genocide, and gendered violence against Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit peoples, unquote. Thomas, a member of the Kainai Nation of the Blackfoot Confederacy and honors student for political science at McGill, said that, quote, our actions can't be minimized to a simple protest. This holding of space centers around kinship relations, culture, and community as taught through land. The CGL threatens the very place of learning, our legal and Our legal and governance systems themselves are threatened by projects such as these. How else should Indigenous peoples react other than carrying culture and holding sovereignty and standing up to these projects, unquote.
Though we are covering this topic in our audio essay, a headline has come up regarding the Montreal housing crisis that was published after we recorded our piece. So according to Global News this morning, the City of Montreal will now exercise its right to first refusal on purchasing land for sale in order to create more affordable and social housing units. We'll go into detail of what affordable housing and social housing entails in our essay, but the overall gist of this move is to combat the extremely low vacancy rate. What this right to first refusal means is that the city has the first opportunity to buy land or buildings that are put up for sale in priority sectors. These sectors and claims specifically include 300 lots in neighbors such as the Plateau, NDG, Sud-West, Park X, and more. Not only will this create, quote, quality housing at affordable prices, unquote, according to Mayor Plante, it will also relieve some tension on the pressure the municipal government is facing to act on the issue. We'll delve deeper into this topic later on our show.
That was our weekly headline roundup. Next, we're going to be playing our audio essay. Stay tuned for that after the song by Body Wash.
Thank you.
welcome back to Unfit to Print on CKUT 90.3 FM. That was Eye to Eye by Body Wash, followed by Shotgun She Said by Penny Diving. The time now is 5:31.
So now it's time for our audio essay covering the ins and outs of Montreal's current housing crisis. And once again, we will be covering the housing statistics of the city and across Canada, as well as social factors and societal consequences, pardon me, of these low vacancy rates. Enjoy.
Reports of the affordable housing crisis in Montreal began to infiltrate mainstream journalistic discourse at the beginning of the summer in 2019. This audio essay will cover the recent spike in Montreal rent, what this spike means for Montrealers, and will also provide helpful resources. The site Rentals released a rent report for the year 2020. The report for Canada revealed that there was an, quote, increase of 1.3% month over month and year over year. The median asking rent of $1,800 per month is up over December, which was originally $1,779, and up 2.9% from January of last year, which was $1,749, unquote. The average rent per square foot rarely changed over a year, remaining at $2.36 per square foot, while the median rent increased by 3.5%, quote, annually, to $2.07 per square foot, unquote. In regards to Montreal, rent was fairly tamed in the year of 2018. And then in 2019, pricing spiked. According to the report, quote, the average rent is up nearly $400 per month since the first quarter of 2019, with per square foot rent up by 38%, unquote. CEO of Local Logic, Vincent Charles Hodder, revealed that renters in the Montreal area, have begun searching outside of central areas in order to find affordable housing. The report also reveals that listings with lower prices now receive more views. Postal codes such as H4B, which is the Betty Farms area, near Loyola's Concordia campus, and H3H, Shaughnessy Village, have grown over 30%, with five other postal codes increasing from 15 to 25% in rent. Surprisingly, there are only two areas that have actually seen a decrease in rent. H2Z, which is downtown around Place des Armes, and H3G, which is once again downtown but near Concordia's SGW campus. Unfortunately, according to the report, their quote chart does not shed any additional light on the true conditions in the market, even when controlling for the area within Montreal, unquote. Additionally, the report has surveyed 14 different buildings across Montreal and found that from January 2019 to January 2020, the average renting price went up by 13%. As mentioned earlier, people have begun to look outside of central parts of Montreal in order to find and secure affordable housing. Another reason behind renters looking outside the city is that Montreal does not actually have that many rental housing options available. As of right now, the average rent in Montreal is $841, increasing by 3.6%. Last month, Mayor Valerie Plante called on both Quebec and Canada as a whole for help. The Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, otherwise known as the CMHC, released a report on January 15, 2020, stating that the city's vacancy rate is now at its lowest in 15 years, falling to a rate of 1.5%. In a tweet, Mayor Plante stated that, quote, now is the time for action, unquote. Bob Dugan, chief economist for the CMHC, notes that the demand for renting across Canada is increasing. Additionally, he said that, quote, the low vacancy rates observed in major centers highlight the need to increase the supply of rental housing in order to ensure access to affordable housing, unquote. In 2015, the vacancy rate for the Greater Montreal area was 4%, and it has continued to decrease ever since. In 2019, 8,500 units were added to the city's rental stock. Despite the city seeing lots of expansion when it comes to housing construction, vacancy still remains low. Furthermore, multi-bedroom municipalities are virtually non-existent. In boroughs such as Sud-Ouest and Verdun, the vacancy rate is 0.5%. On average, apartments with three bedrooms and or higher cost around $1,070 per month and a vacancy rate of 0.7%. These multi-bedroom apartments are also in the highest demand. In regards to off-island, rates aren't much better. The Greater Montreal area is dealing with a vacancy rate of 1.2%. When analyzing the housing crisis, it's important to clarify what vacancy rate actually means. Vacancy rates reflect the percentage of homes unoccupied. If the vacancy rate falls below 5%, then the rental market becomes quote-unquote good for landlords as they can increase the pricing and rent. Less supply, more demand means tenants and potential tenants are subjected to rental prices at the whims of a landlord's financial changes. Some landlords, as well as developers, credit Quebec's housing regulations, namely rent control, expensive building permits, and zoning laws, for worsening the situation. Hans Brulette, spokesperson of the CORPIQ, says, quote, "The more regulations we have less production of new housing stock," unquote. According to Brulette, if the price range for investors involved property projects is raised, then landlords can relieve tenants of extra costs. However, the question remains, should the onus be on tenants to help fund their landlords' personal projects? Additionally, landlords may resort to leaving properties completely unoccupied as rents are too low for them and continue to manage and renovating apartments would just not be worth it, according to Brulette.
You see that there's not much available. It's completely disheartening.
Rose Forces just got an ugly reminder that finding a new place to live this summer won't be easy.
There's nothing in the area, and these findings, they just prove that it's very difficult.
Forces is referring to the findings of the Canada Housing Mortgage Corporation. It reports that the average vacancy rate in Greater Montreal in 2019 has dropped to 1.5%, the lowest level in 15 years. Average rent that tenants paid last year was $841, a 3.6% increase. For larger apartments, vacancies are much worse. For a two-bedroom unit, it was 1.4%. Three bedrooms or more, 0.7%.
I don't know what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go.
Forces is a single mom with an autistic child. During the holidays, she got a lump of coal in her stocking when her landlord sent her an eviction notice. The Plateau resident has started a GoFundMe campaign to fight to keep her home. Now, with the release of the sobering statistics, she wants politicians to intervene.
What the city needs to do is intervene to stop these greedy landlords from putting the most vulnerable in the streets.
The mayor insists she's working on helping the most vulnerable, but Valerie Plante says funding for affordable housing starts with the provincial and federal governments.
There has to be more solutions coming from the other level of government, of course, because this is mostly where the money is coming from.
Forces would like to see a moratorium that would preclude landlords from evicting tenants when vacancy rates drop below 2% or when there are families with special needs. One housing rights organization is demanding more construction starts for affordable apartments.
We need to boom like thousands of new social housing units.
The CMHC report illustrates that housing starts for new apartments did increase last year, but the demand was even higher.
This is why the vacancy rate has been decreasing for the last 3 years.
The good news is that the vacancy rate should start to stabilize this year as the demand for affordable housing should start coming down while the supply begins to increase. Tim Sargeant, Global News, Montreal.
That was a clip from Global News regarding the situation. Continuing on the topic of housing activism, the RCLALQ, a coalition consisting of housing advocacy groups, is now calling on Quebec's housing minister, André Laforest, to develop short-term emergency measures. A spokesperson from the RCLALQ, Maxime Royd-Allard, issued a statement saying, quote, "Minister André Laforest must act quickly if we want to prevent renters from finding themselves on the streets on July 1st, unquote. According to the RCLALQ, in Quebec, 95,000 people must now put 50% of their income towards housing, limiting their financial resources and in turn preventing them from being able to afford other necessities. Furthermore, the RCLALQ states, quote, "These low vacancy rates intensify the discrimination experienced by tenants as owners become more selective. Even if discrimination is prohibited under the Quebec Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms, many landlords do not hesitate to discriminate or use different schemes to avoid renting to certain people," unquote. Not only is housing scarce, but when factoring in systemic discrimination, the question of where to live becomes even more of a concern for marginalized folks. In June of 2019, CTV reported on a survey conducted by the RCLALQ. The coalition analyzed sites such as Kijiji, focusing on ads put up by landlords looking for tenants. Many of the ads asked that potential tenants do not have kids or be a part of the welfare system. Philippe Goard from the RCLALQ issued a statement saying, quote, once the landlord realizes that the person, let's say, has that country of origin or the color of their skin or the person that is on welfare, they're just going to say, unfortunately, it's not available at the moment, or unfortunately, I found someone and I'm really sorry. So a lot of the discrimination that we see, it's a bit sneaky like that, unquote. Once again, the group called on the Quebec government, specifically the Quebec's family minister, Mathieu Lacombe, to make revisions to the rental board in hopes to diminish this ongoing discrimination. And let's not forget about the issue of Airbnbs oversaturating the housing market, making it even harder for those to find affordable housing. In December 2017, Mile End resident Tim Foster was notified that he and other building residents were all being evicted in order for their apartments to be renovated into permanent Airbnbs. The new owners pressured the residents to leave as soon as possible, earlier than the 6 months notice required by Quebec law. According to Régie de Logement, a landlord is allowed to evict previous tenants if they have plans to divide the dwelling, enlarge it substantially, or change its destination. The latter motive implies that converting the apartments to Airbnbs can be legal, but only after obtaining a permit that Foster believes the new owners did not have. According to a 2017 study by McGill geography professor David Watchmuth, in March of 2017, only 42 of the over 6,000 full-time rentals available in Montreal on Airbnb were properly certified. The tenants of Foster's building contested the landlord's attempts to push them out prematurely. During the negotiations, the landlord's intentions were made clear. Quote, some of the other neighbors said that they were basically told, if you win the right to stay, we will make your life hell, unquote, Foster said. Two of the apartments were vacated ahead of schedule. The landlord quickly began renovations, which included unannounced water cuts, walls caked in dust, and endless noise. Foster and his roommate ended up moving out 2 months early. Airbnb puts pressure on a housing market that is already undergoing rapid gentrification. In some Montreal neighborhoods, Airbnb listings have taken over 2-3% of the housing stocks, suggests the study that was conducted by Professor Walshmuth. Airbnb's presence in these neighborhoods contributes to a rise in rent and increasing evictions. Despite efforts to tighten regulations of these rentals, including to push to restrict short-term tourist residence permits in the Ville-Marie borough last summer, most listings still escape notice. In January of 2020, the City of Montreal has begun recruiting citizens and municipal workers to help stop the issue of illegal apartment rentals. The Provincial Revenue Department is being asked to investigate suspected offenders. According to Global News, quote, Montreal's latest strategy is to direct its employees to remove from public property small lockboxes that contain keys, allowing short-term renters to enter apartments on their own, unquote. Around 70% of Airbnb offerings, which totals to around 8,000 houses, are located mainly in the downtown area and the plateau. The infiltration of Airbnbs is one of the numerous factors contributing to these low vacancy rates. Another drastic issue that has been brought up often in regards to the Montreal housing crisis is that of renoviction, where landlords pressure tenants to leave so that they can renovate units in order to attract wealthier clientele. Cases of such have been popping up in areas such as Saint-Henri, Sud-Ouest, and most notably Parc Extension, Montreal's current gentrification project. Parc X, deemed one of the poorest postal codes in Canada, is a neighborhood of about 30,000 and houses much of the city's immigrant population. However, gentrification of this area has increased, much of which has been attributed to the Université de Montréal's new science campus, which is inaugurated in the past, in this past year. As condos and luxury apartments in this area begin to develop, current landlords have sought the opportunity to renovate and improve upon their existing units. This leaves the area's largely low-income population at a large disadvantage as they scramble for affordable housing, which are more likely to be smaller and unfit to house families. Already, the neighborhood is teetering on a 1% vacancy rate as tenants continuously receive eviction notices. 30 alone were reported in November of last year. A tenant who wants to contest an eviction must open a file at the Régie du Logement within 30 days of receiving the notice. Otherwise, they are deemed to have accepted the eviction. If the tenant has not responded within 30 days, the eviction is deemed refused and the obligation to file with the Régie becomes the landlord's. This leaves many residents in limbo as they wait to see if their landlord will apply to the rental board to repossess their apartment after sending notices. As Montreal faces its series of crises, the municipal administration has begun revisions to programs that can support landowners and renters alike in the present and future. The most notable of these programs is the recently revisited Renault Logement of Adore d'Abel, an initiative that helps landlords renovate out-of-date low-rise apartment complex units. The idea behind providing government financial assistance is so that quality renovations will be made in the present and affordable rental units will be available in the future. Rolling out on April 1st, the program allows those who are eligible to make requests for financial aid. Eligibility is given to landowners of 6 or more apartments in the building that are at least 5 floors or less. Subsidized range from $14,000 to $500,000 and include work on oil heating, extermination, lead pipes, and correcting safety problems. Furthermore, Mayor Plante's revisited the 2020 bylaw is scheduled to come into force on January 1, 2021. This bylaw is aimed at construction of social, affordable, and family housing in the Greater Montreal area. For purposes of the bylaw, definitions of the separate housing schemes have been imposed. Social housing is subsidized by the Quebec government. Affordable housing are units that are below the price ceiling imposed by the bylaw, and family housing are those with at least 3 bedrooms. The bylaw calls for developers to reserve 20% of all their projects for these 3 areas. The McGill Daily on January 13th posted an editorial regarding renovictions titled "Know Your Rights, Fight Renoviction." In the editorial, we provide some resources for those possibly facing renovictions. To quote, "Supporting affordable and accessible community housing initiatives is an effective way to fight back against renoviction." 2019, SMU created the Affordable Student Housing Committee as a part of the portfolio of VP External Affairs. According to SMU, service representative Noah Morali, the committee's goals are to research the problems surrounding housing in Montreal, consult with students and student groups to better understand their needs, promote existing housing options, work with the Unité de Travail pour Implantation de Logement Étudiant and other groups to plan new housing options, and work with the Legal Information Clinic at McGill to educate students on their housing rights, unquote. If you are facing the threat of renoviction, consult the housing and legal resources on page 9 of the issue, which we will link to our Twitter later. Even if you are not, consider supporting those who are by becoming a member of your local housing committee. For many McGill students, this is Comité Logement de Plateau Montréal. To avoid rising rent and gentrification, consider a lease transfer as opposed to letting your landlord reassign the apartment. This ensures that incoming tenants pay similar costs as you did. The Facebook group Session d'Ibal et sous la Cachon Montréal, Lease Assignment and Subletting Montreal, can help facilitate this process. In conclusion, Canada prides itself on being quote-unquote mosaic, celebrating its national attitude of inclusivity and diversity. However, it's situations and crises such as these that prove otherwise. Provincial leaders of Montreal must be held accountable and take action regarding the alarmingly low vacancy rates. Low vacancy rates mean that those in already marginalized positions are now subject to housing discrimination along with other systemic barriers. Landlords should not put financial pressures on tenants for personal agendas, nor should factors such as being on welfare bar one from having a home. Housing is a basic right and should be treated as such.
That was our audio essay. We hope you found it informative. Once again, we will link the Daily's editorial regarding renovictions to learn more and access the aforementioned resources. Up next, we're playing a tune by Tops after we wrap up for the week. DJ. Welcome back to Unfit to Print on CKUT 90.3 FM. That was Witching Hour by Tops. Also, shout out to T. The Musket is back in operation.
So we want to thank our listeners for tuning into another episode of Unfit. And you can catch us next week again on 90.3 FM at the same time. Playing us out, we have Lifeline Costume by Pottery. And we'll see you next week. We'll be right back.
ai ane piso te runga amalo ne pibo me na na la me jose tapane o khale malanga jugo pin mare o matamana pobalo ne tamane pobalo hatta to me ne utile go yo ke un ola to khaude ja ola mata ene ame so mare pobalo ke ange taime ne kun ano tamane manchuame kabats ko ame amalo project octokton do kubek How you sat down at the Langadita Bonipina Suarez and me? Amano, Ujalemalanga Mayugu, Jessica Huat Muta, Naane Asirte, Public Health Kuning Arsen Major, Uvalu Neumitano, Anne Asirte, Piaciti Lulu, Ujalemahata Halanga Mayugu, Lisiputa, your meat, Tana Puvalu Larsen Matune, Hanuigo Nir Niku, Yerkaganut, Amalo, Inutito Tunina, Nito Tinitusa, Hatalanga Mayusi. Nala tu inaritsi Nipibu Mik. Hi, I'm Annie Pisuti. Welcome to Nipibut. Today is a special episode dedicated to the important topic of tuberculosis screening and treatment. Last year, some active cases of TB were found amongst Inuit living in Montreal. So this week, there will be free screening, and it will be at Cabot Square and at Project Octoctone. We also have Jessica Hort from Public Health about the screenings.